It's the weekend, and you have financial questions that need answering. That can only mean one thing. It's time for Jill on Money, the show that takes the mystery out of your finances. Here's your host, Jill Schlesinger.
Welcome to Jill on Money. This is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. I'm Jill Schlesinger. Thanks for listening in. It's been fun getting through the winter time with you. And, you know, I always feel like these are the times where people are actually very much focused on their money. I don't know. Money, taxes, Q1, starting over, resolutions, all that stuff. All that is very important, obviously. So in that respect, I'm very happy that you are joining us, and I am delighted that you have the time to really figure out what you need to do in your financial life. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number here is 855-411-JILL, or send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com, askjill@jillonmoney.com. If you miss any part of the program, here's what you do. You go to the website, right? And it's jillonmoney.com. See? Very easy, right? You click on the radio tab and just click radio. And on the right rail, the right side of the page, there are all of your shows right there. So if you miss anyone, or you want to go back, or maybe you want to look at your financial and career resolutions again, you go back to show number 305, it's right there. And I also encourage you to go into your iTunes store and download and subscribe to our new podcast called Better Off. Better Off Podcast. Better Off with Jill Schlesinger. It really should be Better Off with Jill and Mark, shouldn't it, Mark? Anyway, check it out. Mark's been hustling to try to get reviews. Doing well. He's so excited. I don't know if you guys know this, but when you listen to podcasts, you like spoken word. You're listening to the radio, which is awesome. The extension of that is that you can listen to a podcast as well. And somehow, like everything else, a podcast is controlled by an algorithm. So anyway, go to the iTunes store and check out the Better Off podcast, and we would be delighted if you subscribed and listen and then give us a review and check it out. Also, Mark is so competitive and crazy that he is monitoring on a daily basis where our podcast is ranking, which is, I mean, it's a very funny thing. It's hard to do that with a radio show. You know, we don't go through every single, because every market's completely different. So we know, you know, we're on almost 100 markets across the country with this show. It's fantastic. But, you know, we don't drive ourselves crazy with figuring that out, Mark, right? We in fact, I don't think we've ever done that. So anyway, we love terrestrial radio. We are both born of terrestrial radio, and that's why we're here. But we're also doing this podcast thing because we decided it is, in fact, the 21st century. It's amazing. Here we are. We do begin every single program with a call. And our first caller this morning is Ryan, who is calling from Virginia. Hi, Ryan. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm great. Tell me what I can do for you, sir.
All right. So, and this is not a New Year's resolution at all. It just happens to take place, pretty shortly after the New Year.
Okay.
But, I made a decision I want to get, completely serious about essentially eliminating my debt within the next few years.
Okay.
The good news is that I make a decent amount of money and I don't have necessarily a mountain of debt. I'm sure you talk to people that have, they call you saying they have $500,000 in debt or something like that.
We don't allow those people on the show. Those are like remedial debtors. We don't do that. But you're right in our, you're in our demo, so we'll take the call.
Okay, good. So I have about $30,000 in total debt, and the only negative part of that is that the interest rates on different, parts of this debt range from anywhere from like 10% up to, a high like 25%. So
wait a second.
Really high.
Slow down, Mr. Ryan. First of all, how'd you get this much debt? What happened here?
Being young and foolish and not really being focused on being responsible with money for.
Oh, okay. So nothing horrible happened to you. You didn't get into an accident.
No.
And you didn't have.
No,
okay.
No.
Okay. So this is just basically I was a dopey kid, right?
Correct.
Okay, that's fine. How old are you now, dopey kid?
I'm a 34-year-old dopey kid now.
Oh, 34. So we got plenty of time to fix this, which is great.
Yeah.
All right, that's really important. Do you play the game of consolidating debt, moving debt, you know, transfer balance? Do you do that whole thing?
I mean, be honest with you, I haven't done that yet because I think that, you know, I still have a somewhat lower credit score. So even though it's kind of inching up, you know, month after month, I do start to get, you know, offers in the mail of debt consolidation, but they're not really attractive offers. And oftentimes it's like, hey, go to this website, you know, sign up, and then it bounces me to another, oh, we can't help you, but another lender might be able to. So I feel like I might be kind of early to try and take advantage of that.
Okay. So first things first, I'm sure you've done this already, but I'm just going to reiterate that you've probably already listed out every single debt in descending interest rate order. That's the number one thing you should do. So that's great.
Yeah.
How much money do you make, Ryan?
I make $80,000.
That's awesome. Woo, I like that. Okay. And what about living? You have a house? Do you have are you renting? What are you doing?
I rent. And rent is not too bad, actually. I, you know, cohabitate with a good buddy of mine, so it's only $900 a month.
Oh, so you've got the expenses down. That's good.
Yeah.
Have you gone through, like, with a fine-tooth comb and really looked at how you're spending your money right now or not?
I'm just starting to do that more than I have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of ongoing, but yes, definitely starting to really zoom in on everything from, you know, anything. I mean, minor, even a minor purchase, I'm basically cataloging every day.
So. Yeah. I mean, look, I'll tell you what, the thing about doing that is it does start to really get you in touch with the way you are conducting your financial life. And you don't have to do it forever. I'm going to give you an analogy that has been very helpful for me. It's about diet and exercise. I'm a lifetime member of Weight Watchers, just FYI to everybody there.
Okay.
Shout out to my Weight Watchers friends. And when I was in college, I was an athlete who got injured, and then I got fat. And so I had it. Yeah, Mark's like, no way. I did. I got fat. Okay. And then I had to lose weight. But the reason why I loved Weight Watchers was that it kind of made you slightly compulsive about losing weight. And I think that the similar approach really is helpful with money because you have to get slightly obsessive. Doesn't mean you have to be obsessive forever. It means you have to be, for this period of time, slightly obsessive so that we can really figure out how to pay down that debt. And so the first step is identifying where all the money goes. The good news is, Ryan, is that, you know, you've got technology to help you. So whether it's a banking app or it's a mint.com, these technological tools will help you figure out where your money is going. And that's going to be number one to figure out how we get that debt paid down. So stand by, Ryan, and stand by everyone else, because we are going to come back and figure out what else we need to do to help Ryan eradicate his youthful folly. You're listening to Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
It doesn't matter if you're 25 or 65, Jill Schlesinger is here to help you. Back to Jill on Money.
You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, an economic question, a student loan question, a student financing question, basically anything with a dollar sign, we want to hear from you. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We are on the line with Ryan, who's calling from Virginia. Ryan had a very good time when he was younger. That's what I'm going to basically tell you. He's 34 now. He's got about 30 grand in debt. The interest rate that he's paying is somewhere between 10 to 25%. He's getting serious about paying this down. And one of the things we talked about before we went to the break, Ryan, is that I said, you know, it does seem crazy, like you have to become slightly obsessive compulsive, and don't yell at me if you're a shrink. I know that that's like a real thing, but you have to get very into how you spend your money just for this period of time, because actually once you do that, you will stay true to that kind of practice going forward. So you say you're just starting to kind of keep track. Are you using any technology to help you out, Ryan?
Yes. I mean, my smartphone's with me, you know, 24/7. So as opposed to using an app, I know you mentioned like Mint, and I know even banks have their own apps now. I'm actually kind of just essentially using like a note-taking app, and just because that kind of forces me to go in the second I make a purchase and write it down, where, you know, sometimes you use a credit or debit card and it might not show up for a few days in your account.
So. That's look, I don't care what you do. For years, I'll tell you what I did. I'm a spreadsheet queen. I'm coming out as a spreadsheet queen right now. I love spreadsheets. So that's how I kept track of everything. So whatever works, just to get you focused. That's really the issue, right? We want you to focus. Now, if you were to look at your $80,000 a year that you make, and you said you've got low cost for rent. If we just looked at your basics, not even your credit cards, but your basic cost to kind of finance your lifestyle, do you know? I want you to start to identify what that is. So that's number one in this process. You're going to say, like, what are my fixed costs? What is my rent? What is my insurance? Do you have a car payment? Because you live in a place where you might have a car. Yeah. So so you want to basically say, here are the things I can't blow off. Right. And then everything else is what you could blow off to put money down towards your debt. So what the easiest way to think about debt is just like anything else. Like, instead of saying, I want to lose 30 pounds, an easier way to think about it is to say, you know, I'm going to try to lose a half a pound a week. And what you're going to try to do is whittle down your highest interest debt first. So when you've got that list of all the money you owe, you say, there's some horrible thing at 25%. That's your priority. So you're going to make minimum payments on everything except that 25% one. And every available dollar that you have should go to paying down that 25% loan. When that one's done, you move to the next highest, and so on and so on and so on. And as you start to do that, you pay those down. You may be somewhat worried about, oh, I don't want to have that card in my pocket. But, you know, if you can, you can cut the card up and put it in the back of your drawer. Don't cancel the account. It does screw up your credit score a little bit. So pay those down, highest interest to lowest interest. Now, here's my other question to you. Is there any other money that's out there? Is there a retirement account that you're contributing to? Is there some way we can jumpstart this? Is there money that, you know, you make 80 grand a year? Are you putting money into a 401k as well?
I do have access to a 401k. I am not currently putting money into it. I knew you were going to slap my hand for that.
No.
So that's something I can do.
I mean, look, you... All right, so there's two schools on this. One is there a match with the 401k or not?
There is, yes.
I mean, throw 3% in. You won't miss it.
Okay.
Just put 3% in, okay? And I'm going to tell you to do that because I really do want you to focus on paying down this debt, but I hate to give away free money. So just put a few percent in there and you won't miss it. And then what you are going to have to do is get religion. Right? It stinks, man. I'm sorry. But, you know, the good news is, think about this. There's a lot of people who are in debt, and they probably didn't have as much fun as you did in your 20s.
That's probably true.
So there's that. And, you know, any place where you can start to take money that you think is a big amount of money that you can save on a monthly basis and immediately put that money down on that highest interest debt, that's what's really going to help you crush this over time. And, you know, I know that a lot of people say, you know, should I get a loan to do this, a personal loan, a debt consolidation loan? I'm not a big fan of those. I think that you're going to do your own debt consolidation. You know how you're going to do it? You're going to pay down the highest interest debt. It's going to disappear. Like, what's on that 25% debt? What's on that card? How much?
It's like $7,000.
Okay, so that's a great thing to say. $7,000. I'm going to get rid of that bastard before, I don't know, hope maybe the end of the year, maybe 2 years. We'll see how fast you can do it.
Right.
But, you know, just be hyper-focused on that. Do not miss a payment on anything else. But minimum payment on anything else, every extra dollar towards that $7,000. And that's what you're going to do. Does that make
good.
That make sense?
Yes, no, definitely.
All right.
They call it, that's kind of considered like to be like people call it a debt snowball, right? Like essentially focusing on the highest interest and kind of rolling down the hill with it, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a numbers geek. So there are some people who are saying, like, but I have $500 at 11%. I don't care. That's just not relevant to me. 25% catches my attention. Let's get rid of that sucker first.
Right.
And then we're going to, and then, you know, you're going to see, and don't even worry about, again, don't worry about the credit score. Don't miss payments. Don't mess up your utilities payments. Put every single bill on auto pay. In fact, right. I mean, the one thing I would say to you is that all those minimum payments, just like log it into your system. Make sure those minimum payments are in your banking system so you don't miss anything. You don't, you know, compound the problem. But all the extra money is going to just go towards the very tippy top interest. Work your way down. You know what the cool thing is? I don't know how much money you're paying. What's your estimate of what you're paying right now on a monthly basis for all of this debt?
For all the debt? I don't know that I've been brave enough to add that up yet, to be honest, but it's something I obviously should do.
Because I'm going to guess that, you know, it's basically like another apartment for you. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if it were $1,000, right? Like, if it were $1,000 a month. Here's the great news, Ryan. You pay this debt off, then immediately what you're going to do, and you're going to call me back and we're going to have a party for you here. We're going to have a Jill on Money special party for you. That $1,000 a month that you was going to pay down your debt, what you're going to do is you're going to immediately enroll. You're immediately going to kick up your contribution in your 401k. And you're going to put $12,000 a year away because you're going to be used to putting that $1,000 away every month anyway. And so you are going to become which is very funny to consider, but this is true. Many people who were in debt become fantastic savers as long as they make the turn, right? You pay down that debt, then immediately you say, instead of saying like, oh, I deserve an award, I've done so good. Yes, you can have a little rewards along the way, but immediately what you do is you kick up your 401k contribution, and then you've captured all that money. You've become an incredibly educated investor. You've just made 25% down to 10% by paying down all your debt, and now you're just going to redirect that money, and that money is going, boom, into that 401k. And I think that, as you said, that, you know, now that you're really ready to get your financial life in order, I think you're going to do it. Because I think that what happens is we need some critical point in our lives that makes us shift. And you're there. So congratulations on being there. Thank you so much for calling. And we're ready to hear back from you as soon as that exciting. I think that as soon as you have that $7,000 paid down, call us back. All right. Thanks for calling, Ryan. And good luck. Stay with it, man. 855-411-JILL. That's our phone number. Email us, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
K, IRAs, refinancing. She covers it all. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger.
Broadway is dark tonight.
You're back with Jill on Money. And if you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number is 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. askjill@jillonmoney.com. And you know, I was thinking, Mark, that it could be time for some new music. Maybe we should have Joel's music play over here also. What do you think? I mean, I paid him to compose music. I paid this guy. Remember the guy who came on the show, who is at the end of last year, who is giving you financial advice, year-end financial advice, CFP. His name is Michael Goodman. So his brother is a music composer. So when we were launching this new podcast, we were like, oh, this would be so cool. Let's get him to write new music for us, which he did. But little did I know that, frankly, it's been an eye-opening experience to get a whole contract for writing music, using music. So anyway, I was just thinking, Mark, maybe we should just make it all the same music. I don't know. Make your life easier is right. But then I can't, talk about the music. And you can't make fun of me for liking things. And I can't watch you sway to Johnny Cash. I hate Rod Stewart. You know that. I don't know why. Don't be mad at me, listeners. It's just one. I must have had a bad association. Mark, have you watched The Crown on Netflix? Yeah. 5 episodes. I really like it. It took a while to get into it for me. Like that first episode, I had to watch 3 different times, but I really liked it. And then I had to decide whether when I go on a business trip, if I'm going, because I've got a long flight for business, and I'm wondering once I'm there whether I do High Man in the Castle for the second season. You see that on Amazon Prime? That's kind of weird stuff, but I liked it. A little violent. No, not yet. I haven't finished The Crown. I've got, I'm about halfway through. I'm going to do that. All right. If you guys have some suggestions for some binge watching, not that I have a lot of time, but somehow or other, it is incredibly relaxing to be able to just sit there and zone out. That's how I feel, at least. Okay. If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Ask Jill at JillOnMoney.com. And you can always give us a call at 855-411-JILL. Ramon writes, I have a rollover IRA with Fidelity. They've managed it for me at a 1% fee for the last 4 years. It's been okay, but I could have saved around $15,000 if the money were just in an index fund. Plus, I would have made higher returns. I've been considering the Admiral 500 index from Vanguard, meaning an S&P 500 index fund. Fidelity is telling me that it's too risky to have my investment in just this fund. I am looking at retirement in the next 5 to 10 years, but this is kind of interesting. I don't foresee needing to make withdrawals, as this would be supplemental income. So I would need to make the mandatory withdrawals at age 70 and a half, but okay. So now let's look at this for a second. Should you put 100% in the stock market index? That's number one. I think no, because I don't think you need to. I think the essence of this question is kind of twofold. One is, if I never, ever needed the money, shouldn't I just go all out and take on a bunch of risk and that's that? That is one way to think about it. I mean, the other way to think about it is by adding maybe a bond index fund, also at Vanguard, just maybe even just having 2 funds, which will cost you, fractions of 1%. So instead of a 1% fee, you could just have, let's say, a stock market index fund. And I might do, there's a Vanguard fund called the Extended Market Index. That I would be interested in. That's the little bit broader. So I might, if you really don't need the money and you're investing for the next, not 5 or 10 years, but you're really investing for years beyond that, then why not be 70% in the index, in the broad index, 30% in an intermediate term bond fund? How about that? That I think is a good idea. And then instead of you really, why are you paying them? I agree that, the reason why you pay a management fee is for financial advice, not investment allocation. I think that's the issue that I have with a lot of these big companies. I mean, if you're going to just get investment and allocation, you might as well say, I'll either do it myself, sounds like that's fine with you, or I'll just go to a robo and plug in my risk tolerance and when I need the money and let their algorithm do it. But you only should be paying 1% if you're getting something else, if you're getting some customized financial planning, not just, I'm a Fidelity rep who just, mixes up your funds. That's a waste of your money. I agree with you. So the two issues are, should you leave Fidelity? Yeah, absolutely. Should you be 100% in stocks? No. Should you use two different index funds, a stock index fund and a bond index fund? Because you're not going to, I think the issue is that by adding a bond component, you're not giving up so much upside and you are smoothing out some of the downs. And I think that might make sense for you. So I think, Ramon, you're on to something here. I think that a lot of these big companies, they better like wake up, because there's more and more people who are listening to this show who are like Ramon, who are saying, you know what? Why is it that I am paying someone to do something that essentially technology can do for me right now? Why? What about that? So I feel like you know where you need to go with this, Ramon. Way to go. And be very pleased with kind of doing this for yourself and coming to this conclusion. And I think a lot of people out there, if you want to know about like the coolest part of financial services right now, is that you're all waking up and saying, I'm going to put money in index funds. And if I'm going to pay 1% or 1.25% or a flat dollar amount, I'm going to get something of value for it. And that something of value has to be important to you. And it cannot just be an allocation of your portfolio. Okay? Thanks for writing. It's Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
Annuities, IRAs, 401ks. She covers it all. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger.
You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. Phone number here is 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. All right. Here comes Stuart from St. Paul, Minnesota. He listens to us on WCCO 830 AM. I love WCCO, actually. It's one of my faves. Stuart writes, I'm on the verge of turning 59 and a half, and I've got a significant amount of money in my 401k. How much? He does not write. By the way, when you send us an email, definitely let us know about that those little factoids, because it might help us with our response. I'm not sharing it with anyone. Don't worry. Okay, but the big question is, what factors should I consider in determining how and when I take distributions between the ages of 59 and a half and 70 in order to minimize any negative tax situations over the remainder of my life? I will not need the money before age 70, but I was wondering if it would be better to start getting the tax hit earlier in order to spread them over a longer period of time. This is a really fascinating question, because what it does is it brings up the sort of mercurial quality of trying to time these distributions based on what? Taxes. And since we, for a long time, kind of had the sense that tax rates would be rising in the future, that, you know, people might have thought, well, take some money out and, you know, do it a little bit at a time or defer as long as possible. But then what if tax rates are higher? Here's something that's interesting to consider, Stuart. And that is, given what we know about tax reform that's likely to occur, would it be smart for you to try to extract some more of your 401k assets when you know tax rates are going, when we know what they are and where we end up? But when we understand what tax rates will be, at least for the next 4 years. So what do I mean by that? I mean, maybe you have so much money in this account, it won't matter. I don't know. But what I do know is that, for example, if you had this idea that I'm going to take a whole bunch of money out and I've got, you know, I'm still earning money. I'm in a high tax bracket. You know, let's say you earn, I'm going to make this up. Okay. So let's say you make $450,000 or $500,000 a year. You're going to have a huge pension. It's always going to be a high tax bracket. That's one type of scenario. But if maybe you understand that your tax bracket is going to be, I don't know, you're going to stay in like the 28%-ish, right? Married filing jointly, 150 or 230, I think it's up to 230, whatever. But taking that money out will pop you into the next tax bracket, then I wouldn't do that. So I think there's some balance between deferral, which is really great. It's good to have tax deferral as long as possible. But, you know, let's say for the next 4 or 8 years under a Trump presidency, tax rates are going to be lower. Maybe it would behoove you to take some of that money out now while you know that your tax rate is going to be a little bit lower, minding where the next bracket and cutoff is, and start getting some of that money out. So, you know, old school financial planning was like, oh, don't touch it till you have to. But I think that a more nuanced approach would be, let's be aware that your tax rates could be going down in the next bunch of years, which may not stay that way forever, but certainly could be an opportunity for you to pull some money out and realize some taxable events. You know, and today we're talking about a distribution from your retirement account, but it could be a capital gain. You might say, I'm going to take capital gains in the next bunch of years because, in fact, that makes more sense for me because I don't know 10 years from now what capital gains rates are going to be. Maybe they'll be higher. So I know it's a little bit of a crapshoot, and I'm sorry about that because I think that certainly it muddies the water a little bit. But I still believe that, you know, you have an opportunity here that could be kind of interesting. And that to me is an important reminder. So I wish you very good luck on that. And, you know, again, don't forget, everyone, at 59 and a half, you can access your money. You can, but you don't have to. And so for a lot of people, just pushing that off as long as possible is going to make sense. And for others, maybe starting to take some of that money out just because it's, you know, you have to take a certain amount when you're 70 is going to be a better idea. But for Stuart, you know, who knows, in 10 or 12 years, tax rates could be, he could be in a higher marginal tax rate, the highest tax bracket, and waiting longer would not have served him well. So another idea is to actually talk to a financial advisor about this or chat with your CPA or tax preparer about this and get that, you know, kind of put a game plan in place and have a little more information at your disposal so you don't have to do that by yourself. See, that's also a good idea. By yourself is always, I mean, it's fine. There's plenty of do-it-yourself places, and I'm a huge do-it-yourself fan. I think that's great. But if you need help, then you got to ask for help. Okay? That was a good one. I like that one. You're listening to Jill on Money. Our phone number here is 855-411-JILL. Our email address, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Hey, for those of you who were downloading this after the fact, you didn't get a chance to listen to the show live, it's still available for download. So if you miss any part of this show or you want to hear the download, go to jillonmoney.com, click on the radio tab, and Mark has done a phenomenal job of making sure that radio show is there for you in a digital form. All right. 855-411-JILL. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back. In the twilight of these white nights, these dreams under my pillow. In the bright lights of these white nights. You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Kathy writes, I recently saw you on television and you talked about the big three, meaning that number one, pay down consumer debt, number two, have an emergency reserve fund, and number three, maximize retirement contributions. I've got those three covered. What's next? I like, well, I mean, it kind of depends what you want to do, right? But I always talk about those big three, and maybe I should expand it and make it more like the big five or the big six, because I think that people can only take in a certain amount of information, but I want to be clear that no matter what, if you've got kids, you've got to have a will. So I should probably add that to my list of things you ought to do. So either draft a will or update your will, your power of attorney, your health care proxy, any other estate documents. I think also that you really need to review your insurance coverage. It always gets pushed off to the side. And obviously, if you have some, if your family, if your household is depending on your income stream for to pay the bills or for long-term retirement planning or education funding, then you probably need to look at your life insurance. Maybe also look at that disability insurance. And like the really funny thing that people just completely blow off is property and casualty insurance. And that's, of course, the thing you're probably going to use more than your life insurance, because the chances are you're going to get into a car accident or something bad's going to happen in your house, not that you're going to drop dead tomorrow. And in terms of, you know, if you have kids, consider funding a 529. I guess the other piece here is that just as much as possible, I'm going to try to make this a theme in 2017, which is focus on your identity theft protection. Change your passwords, install those firewalls and virus detection software programs, shred your documents, and store your personal info in a safe, secure place. All right, that's it. That's the hour. You're listening to Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. And you can also send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.